This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Welcome to the Underground, everybody. Lately, we've been talking about relationships, and in fact, tonight, believe it or not, we are still talking about relationships and how to have healthy relationships. And so, let me go ahead and start off with one of my diagrams here just to kind of lay the groundwork, kind of take a few steps back. You know, how do you have healthy relationships? If I want to have a relationship with anyone where I love them with divine love, with the same love that God loves me with, if I want to love someone that way, I need some things. And so we're going to back up a little bit here and start off with this. This circle here represents your physical body. Some of you have heard this before. And we're more than just a body. We're actually the person that lives inside this body. There's a person in here peering out through these beady eyes, looking out of these windows. And this person, we're going to diagram this person, our personality, in this little triangle there. That would be basically our soul. And in our soul, in our personality, we have negatives, addictions, lies we believe, tendencies. And we also have positives. I have a lot of positives. Mine's just full of positives. But we have negatives and positives. If you know someone with a lot of negatives, they have a negative personality. If you know someone with a lot of positives, they have a positive personality. So this person comes to the place where they become a brand new person. They have a spiritual awakening where God Himself enters this person's life and puts His Spirit within them. And so we're going to put that as this little red triangle here. That represents a new presence that's come in town. A new person's come, and he's come to take over. He's come with the way God works is humbly and beautifully, consistently through influence. And it's the way God uses his church in the town is he wants to use us. The way the Holy Spirit works within us is he influences us. He's consistent. And that's a powerful way to be. Now, one of the things about this is the first thing a person has to do to walk out this new identity is allow this inward work to go on. We have to learn to rule and reign. That's what we're doing. The first thing we learn to rule and reign is our own soul, our own mind, our own will, our own emotions. And we have to allow this inward work to go on. And the more we reign inwardly and heal inwardly through the power of the gospel and the power of the Spirit, through believing the truth, through allowing His Spirit to confront lies that are within us, things we've always believed, He heals us, and then we're able to overcome outwardly our circumstances. The more we conquer things that go on within us, and we conquer also our flesh or our selfish nature we carry around with us. It's like our sparring partner. They're constantly in conflict. The new person that lives within me is in conflict with this outer person. So there's a tension that's going on. The true believer has conflict within them, and this conflict challenges this new presence, and this new presence will challenge our old ways of thinking, our old ways of doing things. And tonight's session is called Spiritual Enlightenment because we're talking about the Spirit and how the Spirit works. How does the Spirit work in your life? Walking in the Spirit, something you hear a lot about. Walking in the Spirit is basically really how we live out our lives one step at a time. And how does the Spirit work? It's like what Tony was up here talking about, her life, watching her life change and blossom the way she was talking about. And we've watched it. Where we met Tony and where she's at now is radically different. What she brings to the table is magnificent. I know a guy who was raised in a home of drug addiction, something horrible, around needle use, prostitution, the use of people, trafficking people. And he grew up to be an intravenous drug user himself, married a girl when she was 17. They had a baby. They both were radical drug users and fought over that baby for 20 years. In and out of jail, was arrested for armed robbery, many drug charges, back and forth, over 10 years in on probation, and as a middle-aged man became homeless, losing everything time and time and time again. And that guy would now have a wonderful marriage, would work consistently, hold a job, be a provider, love people, and become a minister. That's me, who I'm talking about. And that is only done by the work of the Spirit. That is a consistent work of the Spirit. Consistently pushing, consistently encouraging, consistently being there saying, let me tell you who you are. Let me tell you who you are. Let me tell you who you are. Let me tell you how I see you. And how God believes that. And the way God sees things. The more I line up my sight with His sight. Royalty is everywhere in the eyes of the believer. So we are talking about relationships. How this person is going to love another person and have a relationship with another person. I have Evan and Jesse going to come up here real quick and be a visual for us. Yeah, sure. Come on up. So they're going to come up, just stand here and be a visual for everyone. They want to be in a relationship, right? They want to be married, or they are married, but they want to have a wonderful marriage. They want to stay married. How about that? These two come together. They want to have a relationship. Evan wants to love Jesse in a healthy way. He wants to have a healthy relationship. She wants to have a healthy relationship. And before they can have a healthy relationship, we've got to back up and recognize that Evan comes to the table with a set of needs. The person that lives inside this guy's body here, he's a person that lives in this body, and this person has needs. And the same thing with Jesse. She has needs. He has a need to be loved, unconditionally loved. He has a need to be accepted, to be embraced. And he has a need to know that he's important, that his life matters, that his life has meaning and purpose. And that he is able to do whatever God has called him to do in this life. She has a set of needs she brings to the table, the need to be loved, accepted. In other words, the need to be secure. And she has a need to know that she's important, and that she is also able to carry out whatever it is God's called her to carry out. So they come to the table, they want to have a healthy relationship, and they have needs. Now, when a person develops addictions, these addictions are kind of like caretakers. They become caretakers of our person that lives in our bodies. They're kind of taking over what we feel like is missing. So they begin to nurture and care for us. And we give our lives over to these things, to care for us, to meet our needs. In some way, we're trying to meet our own needs, trying to take care of ourselves. And so the root of dysfunction that's going to happen will be found in what they think they need to be okay. The root of dysfunction is found in what we believe we need to be okay. Now, you guys can go ahead and sit down. That was wonderful. So, I'm just going to go ahead and do something a little different here. I'm going to set this timer. I think this is important enough. I feel like sometimes we don't get enough interaction or engagement with some of these things. And I just want you to discuss among yourselves there as you feel comfortable. If you don't feel comfortable, then you can just listen or whatever. And I want to be able to pull it back together here in like 5 minutes so we can get through this, because this is great stuff. But just discuss what comes to your mind when it comes to the area of these needs coming into a relationship and the concept of your needs, how that works in a relationship and how that's affected your relationships. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and set this timer. All right, is everybody okay? If you think you need more time, then I'll talk to you more about your needs later. Sure. All right, you guys want to come back up here? All right, I like having the visual, and I like some feedback from some of you about this later, about how you like being able to discuss this a little bit. But see, like we were talking about at this table a little bit, that I talk to my daughter about who she's dating. I tell her about walking around this guy, really watching this person, observing him when he's tired, when he's hungry, when he hasn't gotten any sleep. How does he hear no? How do things go when everything goes his way? And how does it go with him when he fails? And where is this guy's, where is he getting these from? Super important. In other words, where is his umbilical cord attached? And I tell my daughter, if his umbilical cord is attached to you, you're in a lot of trouble because you can't have a bad day because this is where he's getting it. You know, his oxygen supply is going to be cut off and he's going to freak when we run out of oxygen. And so that's kind of some cool discussions we're talking about over here. I would love to hear some of these tables. But Evan brings to this relationship a unique blend, Evan's blend of beliefs, expectations. Evan's blend sounds like coffee, doesn't it? It's a, perfect. There's a good business. It's a special, yeah. Okay, where was I at here? Oh, yeah, Evan brings coffee to the relationship. He brings a unique blend to this relationship, and so does she, about her expectations, about where, what is her history of where she's gotten her needs met. And what I was telling my daughter is she wants a man who gets his needs met, his identity from his father. He knows who his father is. He knows how to hear his father's voice. He knows how to receive his marching orders from his father. He walks to the Lord late at night, prays over his family, that kind of stuff, where he is a powerful man getting his marching orders from a higher place. And the same with her. Where is she getting her needs met? This is such a huge big deal. And so before he can love her in a way, in a divine way, and before she can actually love him with divine love, there's something they have to understand about this diagram, about himself and about herself. It's so radically important for the Christian. See, if Christians, if the divorce rate is the same as the world's, then that means we're operating exactly the same. But see, what he has to understand is this. He may not remember this, but when Jesus died on the cross, the old person that Evan was died on the cross. When he hung on that cross, God, through his power, joined Jesse to himself on the cross. They died. God is so convinced that you guys died that he buried you. But something else happened. When Jesus walked out of that tomb, Evan walked out of that tomb, and Jesse walked out of that tomb as brand new persons, holy and without blame. As a new person, as a son of God, loved and accepted, absolutely significant in the plan of God. And she walked out of that tomb with Christ as a royal daughter of God, secure as she'll ever be. The person that she really is, who God says she is absolutely secure and significant in God's plan. Their needs are met. They have the ability to love each other. Now, so if he wants to love her in a way with divine love, we've been covering some skills that he needs and some skills that she needs. We all need to have healthy relationships. The first one is changing our thinking about our worth, about our needs, about where we're going to get them, about who we really are. First and foremost, who are you? Right? The second skill is tied to the first, is that's emotional management, managing our emotions. If you don't manage your emotions, your emotions will manage you. And that's not going to be healthy, and vice versa. And he manages his emotions by using the first skill, by changing his thinking, by changing what he's believing, by seeing things the way God sees them. And I know that sometimes we have physical things that bring on emotional problems. My dad went through a thyroid problem once, and he didn't know it, and he became like this raging, angry guy. But was that rage and anger, was his perception correct? It was not. It was his thyroid going crazy. So at some point, we have to be able to confront lies we're believing. My perception is not right. What's the truth? And so the third skill is behavioral redirection. We talked about last week, checking our motives. Is your motives by what you say and do with Jesse coming from a place of faith in your new identity, giving you a sense of hope, and your motives being love? Like why are you washing the car and doing the dishes? Are you doing it with strings attached, or are you doing it out of love? And why are you, making a fancy dinner or whatever? Are you doing it out of love, or is it manipulation? And I think that's a question we always have to ask. And so the fourth thing, which is what we're talking about tonight, is spiritual enlightenment. All these skills have to come under the control of the Spirit. And real quick, I know this sounds like religious, but there's a difference. There's two things. There's sins, plural, and sin, singular. Real important. Sins, plural, are the specific things that we do. The sin, singular, is coming from unbelief. That's unbelief in general. When he does not believe that he is who God says he is, you know what's going to come out of that? Sins. Plural. When he walks in unbelief, which is sin, sins are birthed out of that. And so that's why we're talking about this so much, is it's the Spirit that will lead us in our thinking. It is the Spirit that manages our emotions and helps us keep things in check. It's the Spirit that talks to us about our motives and leads us. Anyway, thank you guys. You guys can have a seat. That was wonderful. Spiritual enlightenment is so important, walking in the Spirit. It's the Spirit that makes the 12 steps work. It's a spiritual program, and it's the power of the Spirit that makes the 12 steps work. Step 3 is turning our will and life over to the care of God. 7 is we're asking God to remove our defects of character. And 11 is that we sought to improve our conscious contact with God. It's the Spirit that makes the 12 steps work. And Jesus promised he would send us a comforter. Now, here's my second question I want to give us another 5 minutes with at the table. I'm going to set the timer. And I just want to throw this out here. And I hope my questions are okay. I hope it works. Because here it is. The scripture says, taste and see the Lord is good. And that's kind of an experience. Taste, see, the Lord is good. When we become brand new persons, we receive an actual person. The Spirit comes to live within us. There's a person there. There's a new presence within us. When we act or do something that is against that new nature, we're going to feel it. We're going to know it. He's going to nudge us. He's going to tap us. So, let me ask you this. I knew a guy at work who's not a believer at all, who did something wrong, talked about his buddy, stole something or lied, and his conscience bothered him really bad. Really bothered him. And I watched him. I also know a believer who lied, stole something, talked about his buddy, and he also felt very bad. Both of them looked identical. So what's the difference between conscience and the Spirit moving and nudging and acting within us as we live out this life? That's the question. Okay, I don't know what you guys are coming up with, but up here, one of the main words that kept coming up was the presence of God leading us to repentance, as well as a sense of being forgiven. I hope I represented that accurately, or I will have to repent and be forgiven. I know this, I was raised in a pretty immoral home, so we weren't taught a lot of things about right and wrong. So I know that I kind of operated lying and stealing and all that stuff. It was very natural. As long as I didn't get caught, I didn't feel bad. Never felt bad about it. When I was 13 and I went to a church, I had never seen church, heard about Jesus, God, any of that. And I walked in and the guy was up there talking in his suit and the music just blew me away. And I had never seen anything like it, these people and all this stuff. And the guy at the end was like, if you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, you want to be saved. And that was the main word that got me, is be saved, you know. I didn't know anything about it. And he said, just raise your hand. And I stuck my hand up. It's like, I want that, whatever that is. And so I said the prayer with him and had no intentions of anything changing in my life. And I said the prayer with him, and I was rocked to the core. I went home, and when I walked in, my dad said I looked completely different on my face. I didn't know what happened to me. I walked in, and my dad asked me a question about something, and I lied to him about it. You see, I had this going on now. And so I jumped in the shower, get ready to go to sleep, and when I jumped in the shower, it was like I just bent over and sobbed and sobbed and sobbed over the lie. And I tell you right now, I remember sitting there thinking, what is going on with me? Why is my heart broken? And it was the presence of God in me. It was a real presence that changed me. Now, later on, I was introduced to the law and religion and what I needed to do, and I became focused on what I was doing for God, what I wasn't doing, what I needed to do. New sins were coming up everywhere. Oh, I didn't know that was a sin. Better stop doing that. And I didn't know playing that game was a sin, and just everything became a sin, and I became extremely discouraged and ultimately left the whole thing completely brokenhearted because I couldn't do it. But I know that if you had a computer and it was used for, you know, a lot of rotten, horrible things, and it was filled with those things, and then a new user took it over and began to reprogram it line by line, getting rid of some things, replacing it with things, that's kind of what I have experienced in my walk with the Spirit. And I don't know about you, but this is a big difference in conscience and Spirit with me, is the source of the grieving, or the source of what's going on, is the presence of God. We all love movies where the movie where the guy, you know, gets run out of town, loses everything, you know, loses his identity, ends up in some cave, you know, with, you know, like a potato sack on, and he's all dirty, his beard's out to here, and he's lost it all. And he meets up with some old guru master that looks at him and sees greatness and begins to train him and rebuild this person and renew this person and charge him with a mission. And when this guy goes back to town, he's a new person. He's a warrior, and he's not manipulated anymore. He's not the same guy. He's the same guy, and they all recognize it, but he's not the same guy. This is the work of the Spirit. This is what he's after in all of us. He says, I can make you who I designed you to be in the first place if you just let me coach you, let me teach you, let me train you. And so every day when we wake up, we show up with pen and paper. I'm here. I show up for class. Okay, God, what are we going to learn today? And we begin training. And it's an exciting walk. And God's constantly getting us ready for what we face tomorrow. And we can know that he's leading us, he's teaching us, he's reminding us. And the same spirit that is within you and is within me is the exact same spirit that was within Christ as he walked on this earth and did his ministry. That's the same spirit within us to lead us to do our ministry. Okay, so I got one more question I want to throw out, and then I'll wrap the thing up. I really like hearing the interactions and all this. And again, I'd like some feedback from some of you about how you like this. But John 10:27 says that my sheep hear my voice. I was going to have a big radio up here, and I was going to turn it up really loud, and I was going to slowly turn the dial, tuning it to different stations, and hoping we would land on some really funny things. And it was going to be funny. It was going to be, but I don't have it here because I'm not. Have you ever not been ready for something? Like, I wasn't really ready or prepared. The other day, I wasn't ready for something at work. It's kind of embarrassing, but I'll just tell you real quick. We had a corporate visit over there at the store where I work early in the morning, and I'm working hard like I do. I'm moving around. I'm walking. And this guy walks by really important all of a sudden, real early, and I wasn't ready to have this person walk by and me have this face-to-face on our way, just a real moment going by, you know. And as he's going by, he goes, good morning, you know. But my mouth and the saliva in it, you know, wasn't ready for me saying good morning. And you only have a second, you know, as he's going by. And so I wasn't ready. He said it, and I wasn't ready, but I said it, right? I wasn't ready, though. But I still said it. And what happened was the weirdest thing. This bubble, totally true. This bubble appears and pops as I say it. And the embarrassing part is I saw him look at it. Oh, it was horrible. It was like really big. He like could see his own reflection in it. You know, he was like fixing his hair, and it was really embarrassing. But anyway, so all right, so here it is. Imagine I just tuned the radio. We all can hear his voice. One of the first things I think we need to learn that I don't think there's enough emphasis on when a person becomes a Christian is one of the first things we have to learn is how to hear my Father's voice. When Jesus was 12 years old, he knew his father's voice. And he said to his mom, I must be about my father's business. Amazing. How do you hear God's voice? How does he speak to you? What experiences have you had? How does that work for you? 5 minutes. Here we go. Okay, it sounds like it's going really great. I got to hear some wonderful things over here. I hope you guys are enjoying this. All right, so when it comes to the Spirit and his voice and what he says to us, what we hear from him, I just want to throw this verse out. Romans 8:15 says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm we're God's children. And so we see that the greatest job of the Spirit is to assure you, first and foremost, that you are his. And what a marvelous thing that is. Also, here I have Ezekiel 11:19, and I love this diagram here because I see it in so many things, but it says, I will give them singleness of heart and put a new spirit within them. I will take away their stony, stubborn heart and give them a tender, responsive heart so they will obey my decrees and regulations. And they will truly be my people and I will be their God. So he gives us a heart transplant. And out of that heart comes a new nature. So we're not living by laws and rules. When we live by laws, we're actually in la-la land. Aha! Hey, that was good. That was good. When we live by laws, that hinders us from living out of our new nature. It's stopping us from living out our new identity. So one of the things I was reading about so interesting is when a person receives a heart transplant, there's a thing called cellular memory. Very interesting stuff, where the person that receives the heart starts to display the characteristics of the person that gave them the heart. Unbelievable. I mean, from young to older, I mean, it's incredible the stuff that they're seeing in that. And so we can know God has given us his heart. And so we will begin to display his nature, our new nature, the very nature of love. That's going to be the main thing, is God's love. So if you're having a hard time hearing God's voice and you have a hard time with that, I struggle very much with that at times. One of the things that has helped a lot is just think about the last couple weeks. If you get out a pen and paper, even at home, right? The last couple weeks, the times when you believe God was trying to get your attention and you resisted. When he was going, hey, 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 nudging, and you resisted that nudge. An important thing to do is then ask him for forgiveness, like, I'm sorry. Not forgive me of my sins, but forgive me in our relationship that I ignored you. And help me to be more attentive to you and to go with you in these things. When are times in the last couple weeks when he tried to get your attention and you listened? And to thank him so much for that. If we do this every day when you get home, go over the day from the moment you woke up to the moment you come to bed. When are times throughout today you tried to get my attention? And allow that time. Think it through. There will be times you'll recognize his presence when he was nudging you. And as we do this, every day you'll become more aware of his presence and his voice as it happens, and it'll become clearer and clearer. I think that's just incredible. And so the nature of obedience is that he is the head and we're the body. My hand moves when my head tells it to. My hand's not necessarily submitting. It doesn't look like it's submitting, but it is. You know, there's impulses that run through. My hand receives an impulse and it obeys me. And so we're moving with him as one. We're one. And as he moves, I move. And as he turns, I turn. And when I speak, I can speak his voice. I can actually be Christ to a hurting person. When I move and speak into Evan's life, I can actually speak his words. And when I move my hands and help and work and do things, I can actually be doing God's work as I move in union with him. And this is why sometimes when things happen in the body of Christ, like we lose a family member, like what happened last night, it hurts so bad because we just lost a part of ourselves. He's part of the body. We hurt. It hurts us deeply. We lost something. And I cannot do anything in private or public that doesn't affect you. My deepest private life affects you. And your deepest private life, it affects me, whether we think it does or not. And we've had people out in North Star saying, I'm not hurting anyone but myself. But they've cost this community thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in us dealing with their crimes and stuff. And like, you are affecting us. You're in here, like your community is saying you're not allowed to be in public. You are affecting us. So what is restraining me in the things I'm doing? what restrains me from doing wrong and committing crimes isn't the rules, but the life of God in me. And what motivates me to do the things I do is the life of God, the new presence that lives within me. And as I walk with Him and exercise faith, He grows and grows and grows in the Spirit and fills me and overtakes these negatives. And actually, like Toni was talking about in her sign, the cardboard testimony is that these minuses will become pluses. Your weaknesses will become your strengths. So I hope this was organized enough. I feel kind of slow walking around up here, getting this. You ever feel lazy and slow? I was watching a football game the other day, and I just walked to the refrigerator to get something. And by the time I got back, they had already kicked the ball, and the guy ran 100 yards. And I had only covered like 4, right? So I felt very slow. He had like 11 very powerful men trying to stop him too, where I just had a piece of cheese hindering my walk. So, yeah. So I hope this has worked out good tonight with the interaction. I really like it. If you do not like organized religion, then you are going to love the underground, because we are very unorganized. I think. Yeah. That's awesome. All right. Well, thank you guys for your interaction tonight. Thanks to Evan and Jesse. Let me pray. Father, thank you for making us brand new persons in Christ. Help nudge us and speak to us and move us in the Spirit to be healing agents, to be ambassadors for you in this world that's hurting so bad. Lead each one of us in the Spirit to be moved mightily by you, and help us first believe the truth in who you've made us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
See the beauty of a sunset's glory, amazing artistry across the evening sky. When I feel the mystery of a distant galaxy, it awes and humbles me to be loved by a God so high. What can I do but thank you? What can I do but give my life to you? Hallelujah, hallelujah. What can I do but praise you every day, make everything I do a hallelujah. Story of a God of mercy who shared humanity and suffered by our side, of the cross they nailed you to that could not hold you. Now you're making all things new by the power of your risen life. What can I do but thank you? What can I do but give my life to you? Hallelujah, hallelujah. What can I do but praise you every day, make everything I do a hallelujah.
What can I do but thank you? What can I do but give my life to you? Hallelujah, hallelujah. What can I do but praise you? Every day, make everything I do a hallelujah.